Good evening. How's everyone doing? Wonderful. It's so much of a blessing to be here, to be able to take a little bit of time before the main presentations to concentrate and to enunciate upon a very important part of our lives, and that is health. And we're going to talk about health actually quite a bit. It's not going to be the main emphasis of this series today and tomorrow, but we're going to talk quite a bit about health. Because you see, in order to fully understand and comprehend and even utilize the information we're going to cover, we have to have a measure of mental and physical health. You realize that? Because the mental health is necessary so that we can actually understand these concepts, and the physical health is necessary so that we can put them into practice. Amen? So we're going to be doing that, or learning about health. Just a few minutes before each presentation begins, we're going to take a little bit of time out to look at health and to look at some simple practical ways that you can improve your mental, your physical, and even your spiritual health. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started with tonight's presentation. We are increasingly in something experts are calling a healthcare crisis. Have you heard that phrase before? Well, if you've never heard it before, you're going to understand it tonight. Because many people are struggling to pay their medical bills. 60% of all bankruptcies, personal bankruptcies filed in bankruptcy court in this day and age are due to unpaid medical bills. That's 60% of all bankruptcies. And prices and expenses in healthcare keep rising higher and higher. Yet there's an interesting phenomenon. If you look at across the globe at health outcomes, meaning what you put in and what you get out, we are kind of at the bottom in terms of health outcomes, especially if you look at per capita health spending. We spend more per person in the United States on healthcare than any other nation. Yet we have some of the worst outcomes. Why is that? Why is this happening? And could it even be affecting us, these reasons? Let's take a look at the average American for just a minute here in these American health stats. 25% of us, according to these statistics, will die from heart disease or a heart attack. Okay, 40% will develop cancer, and of those 40%, 20% of them will actually succumb to that disease. They'll die from that disease. 50% will be obese by the year 2025. You know what that means? That means one out of every two individuals will be obese. And that's, what, 9 years away? That's kind of startling. And that's a steady trend that we've seen in the United States in the past 30 years. 27% of Americans are pre-diabetic as of 2012. And over 130,000 Americans will die from a stroke. Now, if that's not enough to make us realize we're in some sort of a crisis, let's look at the mental health side of things. It was recently published that 25% of Americans during one calendar year, 25% of Americans came down with a diagnosable mental illness. One out of every four Americans has a mental illness. Can you believe that? Whether it be depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorders, and maybe even some of the more severe mental illnesses. We're a nation that's spending a lot of money on healthcare, but we're getting worse and worse in terms of our actual mental and physical health outcomes. Why is this happening? In a society that's very affluent, in an information age, why are we struggling with things that if we really look at them, we realize, hey, these are largely preventable, a lot of these diseases. For instance, just drinking five 8-ounce glasses of water a day can reduce your risk of a fatal heart attack by about 50%. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But it's profoundly effective. We'll talk about some other things in subsequent nights, but you kind of get where I'm going, right? A lot of these things we can do. We can practice prevention so that we'll reduce our risk. And healthcare spending will come down as a result. You know, the average American, or 75-year-old elderly American, suffers from 3 chronic conditions and takes 5 prescription medications to manage those conditions. And they're not improving. They're getting steadily worse in terms of their health. And that's mentally and physically speaking. So let's look at the past, because sometimes we've got to take a look back so that we can learn from the mistakes of people before us and push on with renewed strength, renewed intelligence, and make these healthy choices. We're going to actually start out by looking at a case study in ancient Egypt. And this is a very famous, very prominent Egyptian queen that's pictured right here behind me. Her name is Queen Hatshepsut. Anyone ever heard of her? Okay, if you've ever listened to any of my lectures, you've heard of this queen, right? What was so notable about her? Well, she was the only queen that ever became pharaoh in all of Egyptian antiquity. You search all the writings, all the records, there's only one queen. It's this queen, Hatshepsut, that became pharaoh. You know why that was so unusual? Because this queen actually, let me back up for a minute before I tell you what she did. Let me tell you a little bit of prerequisites for the office of pharaoh. First of all, you had to be a man. There was no way of getting around it. Secondly, you had to think of yourself as a god. So there's definitely some issues there. We know Lucifer wanted to be god, but pharaoh declared himself god. The interesting thing about Queen Hatshepsut is one day she woke up and she said, you know what, I'm going to be pharaoh. And so what did she have to do besides proclaim herself god? She had to also proclaim herself a man. And she did it. She donned a fake beard. She pushed her stepson off the throne. She said, I'm now pharaoh. I'm now a man. Worship me and obey me. And you know what? All of Egypt did it. I wonder why they went along with this. Actually, you know, you'll kind of figure that out as we go through this report. Interesting report here. Queen Hatshepsut's remains were found, and they decided to find out what she died from and her state of health when she actually died. They ran her mummified remains through the MRI machine numerous times, and this is what they came up with. She was overweight. She had diabetes. She had hair loss. She had a lot of wrinkles. She had her countenance must have been very strong and stern because her muscles were just tightened in this area. Probably never smiled very much. And Dr. Howis, the Egyptian physician who examined her, said she had a back problem. She had many, many other health problems. And she died at the age of 50 because of cancer. 50 years old. Didn't live very long, right? But you know what? She was not alone. The average affluent Egyptian rarely lived past 50 to 60 years old. And in this society, if you look at the ancient writings, they had nephrologists for kidney disorders. They had cardiologists for heart disorders. They had endocrinologists for multi-organ disorders. They had all these specialists that were practicing all this advanced medicine, yet they could not keep these people alive past 50 to 60 years old. What was going on in this society? Now, I don't have it in my slides, but I'll just tell you. These were the affluent Egyptians that could afford the latest advancements in healthcare. You know what happened to the common Egyptian? They rarely lived past 30 years old. Can you imagine a child thinking, okay, when I'm 30 years old, that's the good old age I'm going to die, right? How many of you are over 30? You don't have to raise your hand. Just mentally acknowledge it. You are greatly advantaged in longevity over these ancient Egyptians. But look at the diseases the affluent Egyptians were dying from. Heart disease, stroke, cancer, diabetes, obesity. Did we just see these a few minutes ago? Yes. What are we dying from today? From the very same things they were dying from back then. Why? Does anyone wonder why? I heard a diet. It could be. That's a possibility. I'll submit to you, though, it's more than diet. And as we go through these health nuggets, we're going to find something very amazing. And that is that, yes, we're dying from the same things the Egyptians were dying from because in many ways we're practicing the same type of lifestyle as they were practicing. And it's even a possibility that even our religion is patterned after theirs. Even, listen to this, even our Christianity could be patterned after them if we're not careful. Do you believe that's possible? Well, I'll submit to you, it's not only possible, it's a verified fact. And so you'll have to make sure that you're on time every day to catch these health nuggets, because we're going to unveil the mysteries of the Egyptians, okay? And we're also going to see God's solution for the problem. Amen? Amen. Thank you for your time this evening.